Hello, hello, it's me again. Today we'll be talking about spelling. I remember long time ago when I had my historical linguistic classes back at the uni, like hundreds and thousands of years ago, and one of my professors actually said that spelling is logical, critical, and that it's learnable. And I will never forget that because I didn't understand what she was pointing at spelling when we were talking about Beowulf and all the jazz. But then, a couple of years later, it occurred to me that lots of my students, they didn't know how to spell. They didn't know that spelling has patterns. They were just taught rote memorization, and they thought, okay, you know, we just have to learn it, learn by heart, you know, whole list. And when I started digging, and I was still at the last year of my uni, and I was a fresh teacher, and I experimented a lot, and I sincerely apologize to my students because I made so many mistakes when I was teaching as a teacher. I was like figuring stuff as I was working with them because my class was mostly dyslexic and ADHD. The people were amazing and they did great. However, what I'm trying to segue at is that you can teach your students to spell. And I think it's high time we stirred the hornet's nest and actually realize that we have to start asking ourselves questions. When someone tells you, you know, you can't teach spelling, just ask them, really, why they can't learn spelling? Do you think they can't learn spelling? Or maybe we do not know, or you do not know how to teach it, which is okay, because we can learn how to teach spelling too. It's nothing to be ashamed of. So I would approach it from different angles and try to collect data to see where the problem is. Because, funnily enough, spelling is learnable. And our dyslexic students can learn spelling. What I think the biggest obstacle is that we have to rely on our admins. We are often in a hurry. We are pushed to finish this unit or that unit because we are running out of time. And I remember when I was thinking about talent some time ago, and I came to the conclusion that I do not believe in talent. I believe in the power of repetition and interleaving, but repetition is the key. If you think about a neurodivergent student needs from 20 to 200 repetitions, sometimes more, sometimes they need 500, which is okay. And when you think about the greatest sportsmen or musicians, you can say they are talented. Yeah, absolutely. But would they succeed without the power of repetition? They wouldn't. You can be the most talented, if you believe in talent, I don't, person in the world. But if you are not practicing, if you are not practicing and repeating and repeating, you will not build those neural pathways, you will not build your muscle memory, and you will not succeed. And the same is with spelling. And now, after this short introduction, I will dive a little bit into the spelling. And yes, I sound excited because I love spelling so much. I do love spelling. Actually, I'll be talking about teaching spelling to bilingual dyslexic Polish English students, which is students in the English Polish language pair, in work the conference this July. And I am very passionate because I know that spelling can be taught. So what is spelling? When we think about spelling, we also call it orthography. And we know that orthos means correct in Greek and graph means to write, which is the act of correct writing, because spelling conveys meaning. If we think about spelling, you know that spelling conveys meaning. So, for example, if we have, not my favorite, but the word that works wonders with teenagers, which is decimation, because it's brutal and it's hooked into our memory. We say every tenth. So we have decimation, decimate, decimal. If we think about days of the week, today we have Sunday, which is the day of God. But I always liked Friday because Frigga was the goddess of love, right? I always say that, oh, Friday is the day of love. So if you start to understand the meaning of the days of the week, when you start to understand that everything is logical, like we are in the month of June, from Juno, the Roman goddess, but then we have July, and July actually comes from Julius Caesar. I call it a selfish month. And then we have August. The etymology goes back to the Caesar Augustus, which is another selfish month, as I call it. So when your student can learn the spelling patterns, when they understand the etymology behind it, it is so much easier for them to grasp it. So, for example, I can talk about the Shan rule, right? The Shan, S-H-U-N, is spelled two ways. It's as spelled as T-I-O-N or S-I-O-N. And what I say, if you're not sure which one to use, Tion, which is T-I-O-N, is the most common used form. The original word ends in S-S, then it's spelled as cyan, and the suffix "shan" conveys the meaning the result of something. Pollution. The result of polluting. Simple as that, isn't it? Then we have suffixes, such as we have "shan" in politician, mortician, physician, which refers to a job. So a person who performs an action, a job, such as if you teach your students the meaning of suffixes, it's further down the line, so we do not start with that. And shortly, I will give you a couple of ideas how to teach spelling. It is so much easier for your students because not only they can make a mental note and they connect the information. Moreover, if you teach your students whose languages are based in Latin, then I would absolutely dive into the etymology and teach them the meanings, the similarities, the differences, because the language transfer will happen much quicker and it will help your students immensely. Now, what we can do when it comes to teaching spelling, there are different ways to do it. So the simplest way is to work with sounds. So sounding out the words with one syllable and two syllable words, I would say that's the easiest way. Then you can also focus on phonemes. You can emphasize phonemes, break the word into the phonemes, helping students identify each word. We can also use phonograms, phonogram cards, which are very useful, and I use them with my students and they help immensely. You can think about syllable types, that's one approach. Then again, I would just tread very cautiously around it, because if you have a student who is dyslexic and generally neurodivergent students struggle with working memory, so in that case, I would probably then omit syllable types and I would focus on sounding out the words using word patterns, highlighting common word patterns in words, like this shan suffix that I've been talking about that shows up in the words such as action to help students recognize and remember the sounds. Then I will also focus on interactive activities, lots of repetition and review, breaking down the words to smaller parts. I would highly suggest at least dabbing into structured word inquiry. I have episode on that. I will link it in this episode. But most importantly, I wouldn't rush. I think that the biggest problem that we do as teacher is rushing. We cannot rush our students because we cannot rush the progress. It's like when you plant a plant. Let's say you're planting pumpkins, right? You cannot rush the process. You cannot make it grow. Probably, you know, you can use some fertilizer, but you can't do it within a day or two. It's impossible. So instead of that, start with the oral language. Then teach your students to segment, blend phonemes, introduce writing early and focus on letter formation. That's crucial. Map sounds to letters. Always do it. Always map sound with the letter. Don't do it in the dark. Practice spelling. And again, the spelling can be practiced by segmenting sounds. The spelling can be practiced by sounding out words, introducing phonograms. It really depends on the student, but I would start with the simple one syllable word and introduce two syllable word. Then if your student can do it, I would look at the syllable types. If you think it's too much, then I would simply teach spelling patterns. I would interleave it. I would provide a lot of ample practice, and I cannot state enough how the amount of practice that has to be introduced. I would focus on English language, so treat it like a cake. When I was talking about the sounds, right, then we have morphology. So we have prefixes and suffixes. You don't have to call it a prefix or a suffix, but showing your student the word, let's say we have chaos. And the CH words mostly came to English from Greek, right? We know that CK at the end of the word is pronounced k, right? So I would teach the student the basics of how the language works. You don't have to teach them prefixes and suffixes. You do not have to teach them, oh, this is an affricate sound or a fricative or a dental sound. That's not about that. Just teach them simple spelling patterns and take time. And then when you pass the morphology stage, let's say you introduced prefixes and suffixes, you provided ample practice, ample, I mean, a lot of repetition, then interleaving and coming back to it, because again, it's like your rinse and repeat method or process. You have to be coming back again and again, the same concept. Then I would introduce bits of etymology and I would do it in a method of structured inquiry. And then I would just play with the student. Simple as that. There are lots of resources that you can do. And really, you can just take your time and sift through what works. But if I were to reiterate on how to start it, I would say introduce the word, segment it, blend it, show how to write it, focus on letter formation, sound to letter mapping. Then I would provide the context if you are talking about ESL, EFL students. And I would highlight the word patterns, identify the common word patterns. For example, in multisyllabic words, we have words that end with shan. Introducing the pattern and what it means, and then highlighting the pattern, explaining it, and providing lots of practice and interactive activities. And I know it's easier said than done, because someone can say, yeah, sure, you know, just... But it's a process, so it's not something that will be done within a day. And if I can say anything, I'd say you need ample of patience. Lots of patience. I do it with adults too, because adults do need spelling. And as I said, you need to practice, but you need to go back to the basics. If your student is struggling with letter formation, if your student is struggling with sound production, these are the issues that have to be solved before you move on. Because otherwise, your student will be not only suffering, but literally they will not be progressing as quickly as you would like to, as you would love to, because there are some certain issues, certain gaps that have not been filled. So that being said, thank you so much for listening to me. I really appreciate it. Share it with your friends. I really want this podcast to grow. I'm recording it for you. And if you're interested in working with dyslexic adults, EFL students, or ADHD EFL students, I will have two courses launching in June. The sign-up list will be linked to the episode description. And talk to you soon in the next episode. Bye!